It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's Timmy time!
Get your ass! Timmy!
A lot to learn. He's always having such a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Timmy, wow, wow, little lamb,
and he knows the lines.
Yeah.
All right. KFI AM 640. It is the Conway Show. Everyone's talking about real estate. The hottest market in the United States right now, or at least it was 2 weeks ago, is the Inland Empire. Do you know that, Crozier?
Yes.
The hottest market is the Inland Empire.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. And, so people out there, this is a true story, right? There's somebody who works here at KFI, or I should say iHeart. I don't want to give him or her away. Mm-hmm. But they've been looking for a house in the Inland Empire for about 2 or 3 months. And the real estate agent recently said to them, if you're looking at a house for $600,000, start at the bidding at $700,000. And he did that. And he still got outbid. He was bidding $100,000 over asking price and still didn't come close. And now there are some real estate agents out there that are not taking on any buyers. They already have enough buyers. They need sellers. And so if you're a buyer and you're looking for a house in the Inland Empire, even if you're an all-cash buyer, they may not even take you. Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, how do you get in the market then? You know? Well, let's ask this guy. Jason Salaka's with us, coming down the pipe in 3, 2, 1. You're on the air.
Am I on? Oh, hey, what's up, Tim?
What's happening, Bob? How you been?
I'm doing great. I'm sad about the ArcLight and Pacific Theaters closing.
Right. When's the last time you went?
ArcLight, a year ago. I mean, wow. I was a regular there. I like that theater a lot. It's really sad to see that go, but let's talk about something positive.
Well, first of all, let's go back to you supplied us with great information when you were coming back from Miami to Los Angeles on American Airlines. And we got not into it, but the American Airlines asked us how we knew that information. But tell us the story. What happened on that flight?
Well, it was a flight from Miami to LAX, direct flight. And the this person was sitting right in front of us. And a couple people, other passengers, started making noise and ratting her out because she was on her cell phone, during the takeoff.
Ah.
And so, she seemed pretty quiet. I didn't really see what she was causing any problems. But anyway, everyone starts pointing at her and saying, she's on the phone. So a flight attendant comes by, exchanges some words with her that are, it was very brief. It looked like she might have given him some, maybe attitude, a quick remark or something. But nothing, I couldn't even hear what was said. And it all lasted less than 20 seconds. We continue taxiing. We're getting ready to take off. About 15, 20 minutes later, pilot gets on the intercom and says, we're going back to the gate. We have an unruly, a non-compliant passenger.
Wow.
So we're coming back, and I don't even think people around me knew that it was this woman that were taking off. I think we figured it was someone up front who maybe wasn't masking or something like that.
Right. That's what I thought initially, no mask.
Yeah, and so then all of a sudden they bring in the troops and they take her out, and she was shocked. And so these airlines have no tolerance for any dissension
Wow.
or anything that they, construe as being rude or something like that. I was shocked.
Good thing you and I and Steckler weren't flying, huh?
Yeah, it was. And things were ultimately delayed probably about 2 hours as
Wow.
a result.
Now, what's amazing is, one, first of all, everybody had their video camera out to try to capture it. Everybody. And number two, she's getting off the flight, people are yelling at her, get off the flight, B, and using the whole word, like in front of kids.
Oh, yeah. It seemed like an episode of Jerry Springer. It definitely became this kind of really simplistic morality play. It was the dumbest, lowest level of human interaction I saw. And it was really ridiculous. And especially considering what this so-called offense was that this young woman committed. I mean, everyone is on their phone on some level.
Sure.
For takeoff.
Right,
and
but the only reason you got to do it under your jacket, though. You can't do it while you're standing up, you know?
No, but I mean, I think the airlines have even admitted the only reason they do that is there's no actually interference with the cockpit technology or anything. It's just so people are paying attention.
Right. Yeah, I get it. But they should have, I like your idea, whenever, you know, if you're going to have a two-hour delay over some, you know, numbskull that's not behaving, they should have on standby at every airport a guy that comes in and he's a Jerry Springer impersonator and takes her off the flight.
Yeah, like a Steve Wilco.
Exactly. Just for the entertainment, you know, just because you're delayed 2 hours, they should give you a show.
It was a show. Everyone was really excited about it, and I was right there filming it, and my wife, Angie, was actually yelling at me while I was filming it, going, why are you filming this? And I said, hey, I got to give this to the show. I got to make this happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, once a producer, always a producer. You know what I mean?
But, always producing.
But also, you know, when she's leaving the flight and they're yelling at her, get off the flight, you bee, that's got to make her blood boil.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're applauding.
And she was a single woman, you know, by herself. I mean, he's pretty bold. I mean, you know, like she was taken out like that, you know, she seemed to kind of remain calm throughout and didn't put up any fuss, which I think kind of made the whole thing even look more ridiculous.
Right. And by the way, how did you get mixed up with this crew? What was the flight? How much did you pay for the flight?
It was $35 one way.
From L.A. to Miami?
No, it was Miami to LAX, and these were purchased like a month and a half, 2 months ago.
For $35.
Yeah, so it was definitely, yeah, it was.
So when all hell broke loose, it wasn't like, oh, my God, how did we get here?
Yeah, there were some people on that flight I don't think we've ever flown before or didn't know what was going on. It was wild in there.
Yeah, that's kind of a interesting crew, $35, you know, to fly 3,500 miles. A penny a mile, maybe, something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's less than that. No, it's 35. Yeah, 3500. It's a penny a mile. Wow. God almighty. I don't know how you limbo under that, right? How else do you go? I mean, if you're going to go Greyhound, it's going to be more than $35. Probably be $235. All right.
Yeah, there was no way we were going to splurge on $10 to check a bag. We were going to make sure we're bringing everything on board, even if it meant, you know, carrying bags of trash. I mean, that is all this stuff. Oh, this is just for trash. This is for my newspapers. And meanwhile, there's clothes in there. You know, I'm just trying to fit everything possible.
I love when also, like, guys know what 50 pounds is on a bag. And they can lift it up by a pinky and go, that's going to be over. And the women are like, no, it's going to be fine. And I think it was Maniscalco, the comedian, is like, okay, well, yeah, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And then he gets to the airport, and it's 55 pounds. And he's like, hey, can you take 5 pounds out of it? He goes, I don't know what 5 pounds looks like. What is it, a shoe? And like a skirt or maybe a blow dryer? What is 5 pounds? All right, well, let's talk real estate. We can come back. Is that cool?
Yeah, sounds
great.
All
right, excellent. All right, Jason Slack is with us, the ex-producer, current real estate mogul here in Los Angeles. He's got a bunch of properties. And he'll tell us what the trends are, what the interest rates are doing, and where the hot zips are, right? Maybe you're in a hot zip. I don't know what that means. All right, we're live on KFI. More now with Crouch. KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. We'd like to bring you the latest information from experts, because we certainly aren't, right? I mean, we sort of, we're like, I guess we're like not carnival barkers, but we're the circus, well, the ringleader, right? We bring the acts out, right? But we're not really good at riding on an elephant's back or juggling or flame throwing, anything like that. So we have to bring experts in. And we do with Jason Sulaco here. He's in real estate. And in Sulaco, I read this article today that there are more real estate agents than homes for sale. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. There are a lot of real estate agents right now that are cannot be happier because they have a listing. And if you have a listing, it's going to sell probably within the next week or two. At the, you know, at the latest, two weeks to get it into contract.
Wow.
Most properties now are going into escrow, you know, within 5 days or less.
What was the longest period? Was it like in 07, 08, like 09, that it was like, you know, it was like 5 or 6 months?
Yeah, I mean, it was a low period. I mean, 2011, 2012,
oh, right.
It was really dragging then. But if, you know, if you're a buyer's agent, then you are an unhappy camper right now, because it is very difficult if you're a buyer in this market, and most buyers aren't cash buyers. I mean, most buyers are financed, and you know, trying to get a property right now, you're often competing against 15, 20 plus offers. And this, you know, this holds true for, you know, all, you know, housing types, condos, townhomes, and especially, you know, single family homes.
Right.
But it's happening everywhere, and in all neighborhoods, not just suburban. It's happening in urban areas, high end areas, and entry level. So it's happening in all markets. Riverside and San Bernardino are seeing exceptional growth. Up in 17-18% over last year.
Yeah, they said the Inland Empire was the hottest market in the United States.
Yeah, it is. And LA and Orange County, they're also doing well, but not as you're not seeing the increases that you're seeing in the Inland Empire.
But why do you think this is? I mean, since I was a kid and I grew up in the Valley in the mid 70s or so, there's always been a housing shortage. Why hasn't anyone come up with a solution for that?
Well, I mean, I think it's a housing shortage, but it also is just there's no housing inventory right now for sale. It is at the lowest level it's been in decades, I believe.
Is that due to COVID?
Well, a couple of things. I mean, some people are just staying put. They've refinanced and they have a good rate,
right,
and they see what's out there and they say, why are we going to sell? Let's stay, right? There's boomers are staying in their homes longer. Their health is getting better. They're either prolonging retirement or they're just staying put and deciding not to move, and so that's creating lack of movement. Now you have folks who have been in loan forbearance, meaning that because of federal rules, they've been able to not pay their mortgage and they're not going into default as a result of COVID. So you have folks like that who are remaining in their homes, they're not going into foreclosure, or they're not moving. They still have a place to stay. So you have that, compounded with millennials who are in their 30s, they're entering the first-time homebuyer market. People that have sitting pretty with these inflated portfolios and
is that where the money's coming from? The stock market into real estate?
Well, I think it's where a lot of money is coming from and a lot of confidence is coming from. So you have people that maybe, a year ago wouldn't have thought about, bidding 10-20% higher on the asking price.
Right.
But because, all assets right now seem to be, a rising value, their portfolio looks good. They got in Bitcoin maybe at some point, and so they're looking like geniuses now. You have that. And it does create this kind of a sky's the limit. It's very reminiscent, from 2005, 2006.
Right. And we all know what can happen pretty quickly. But, I was listening to the chairman of the Fed on 60 Minutes, and he said there's like maybe 1% chance of banks, scrambling like they did back in the mortgage crisis, that, the banks are healthy, they're not making any bad loans, and this economy might just take off in the next 5 years like the roaring 20s.
Absolutely. I mean, buyers still have to be highly qualified to purchase a home. As anyone who's going through the process of being underwritten and seeking a home loan, it knows it's very difficult. So there's not people who are buying a home are qualified if they're getting a loan. So it's not like it was 15 years ago. So the question is, how long does this trend continue? Does it level off? Does it continue to go up for foreseeable future years? We just don't know.
Yeah.
As the inventory remains low, I think you're going to continue to see the competition be very aggressive, and you're going to see multiple offers on almost every property.
Jason Sulaco is with us. He's a real estate. It says mogul on your card. That's not true. Is that a misprint, or you call yourself that?
Well, mogul / stud, whatever.
Stud, okay. All right. But, back in 2003, when my wife and I bought our first house, it was a house that sold 2 years earlier for $280,000, and we were going to pay $450 for it. And we thought, we'll never make our money back on this house, at $450,000 in Tarzana, a single family detached home. But we put everything we had into buying that house. We had $20 left And once I drained all my accounts, that 20 had to last us an entire week of, you know, eating and, you know, putting stuff on credit cards. And then the day we closed, they sent us a check for $70,000 that we can use as a HELOC. I've never even heard that term before. And I thought to myself, wow, you buy a house and they send you $70,000. This has to collapse.
Well, you know, right now with interest rates being so low, you know, money is cheap. You know, borrowing money is cheap, right. and it's going to, you know.
What are the interest rates now? Are they going up at all?
Yeah, they actually just went down about 9 basis points. So you're looking at a 30-year mortgage somewhere between like 3.1, 3.15, something like that.
So the 2.5, 2.4, 2.25 is over.
Well, at least for now, but, you know, rates were creeping up, and then they did take a slight dip here within the last few days. So,
they could come back down to that then?
They could. I mean, the Fed has indicated that they don't see rates going up this year. So,
wow.
You know, they don't want to raise rates for as long as they can. So.
Right. As long as inflation is, I mean, it's a very complicated, mathematical problem. Hey, but when we come back, can you stay with us for one more segment?
Sure.
All right, because when we come back, you told me something, and I obviously you're a good friend of mine, so I didn't believe it. I had to research it. But you said that, you know, soon that you'll be able to build multiple units on your property without a lot of local interference. And so when we come back, I want to talk to you about that. Jason Salak is with us, talking about real estate. When we come back, I heard that the feds are going to allow you to build multiple units on your property, and how much property do you need? And maybe that's the reason why everybody's trying to buy your single-family home now. Maybe you get 2 or 3 postcards a week saying, hey, I have a friend in the neighborhood who has cash. We want to buy your house. I think this is the reason why. We'll come back and talk about it. It's Conway Show. We're live on KFI. More now with Crozier. Hey.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real. But Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co.
AM 640, Conway Show. Talking about real estate here in Southern California. Jason Salak is with us, real estate mogul and ex-radio producer. Hey, and Salako, I saw this, and I don't know if it's President Biden doing this or if it's more on a state level, that you're soon going to be able to build multiple units on your existing land without local interference or as much local interference as before. Is that true?
Well, you know, it's happening already in California. California and Oregon were the first states to make it much simpler to have an additional dwelling unit constructed on your property. Previously, it was very difficult, especially in some communities, to build a granny flat, you would call it,
sure.
Or a rental unit on your property. But in 2019. The California legislature passed about half a dozen bills that made it much easier, and basically the state preempted local ordinances, which prevented them from kind of getting in the way. And so pretty much by right, I don't want to generalize too much, but, you know, by right, one pretty much has a right to build an additional unit on their property with the current regulations in place here in California.
What kind of square footage are they talking about, though?
Well, you can...
Anything?
No less. The cities cannot restrict anything less than 850 square feet.
Wow. But you mean just one additional or as many as you can fit on your property?
At least one. I mean, up to two, depending on, you know, lot size and setback. I think there are some requirements there, but pretty much by right. And so like what you're saying on the federal level, so yes, this type of policy now is catching on in other states and on the federal level. And I think the Biden administration is looking at, you know, putting some type of legislation out there that would make this more uniform.
So it's like the old Wild Wild West. It's like, you know, Little House on the Prairie time.
Yeah, I mean, the way that the law is written in California, I don't think it could be much more permissive than it is in California. So
wow.
I think the federal law would probably be a little more conservative, but California could do what it pleases. And right now, and the problem is there's just a shortage of builders and, you know, people constructing these things. So
is that
a lot
right?
Of folks, you know, a lot of folks who are, you know, really bullish on this, and they want to, you know, add one, you know, add a unit to their property. But, you know, because of the real estate market being what it is, trying to find, you know, guys to do construction and to
sure.
do repairs and stuff like that is very difficult. And then to build a, you know, ADU, you know, you want guys that know what they're doing, and those guys are in high demand. But there's all kinds of prefabricated ADUs and other things that are available that, you know, you can pretty much just have it kind of plopped in your backyard and attached to a
wow.
foundation and you're done.
And it works twofold. One, you can make some money renting it out, and two, it helps with the you know, the shortage of housing.
That's the goal, and there are some you know, grants and other you know, there's other legislation that was passed last year to sweeten it so that funding would be available if someone wanted to build a unit and make it available for, like, say, low-income housing or, you know,
right.
rent it out at a lower rent. So there's all kinds of government incentives out there to participate in these programs. You know, the question is, will this ultimately create an overabundance of housing? And who knows, maybe this will lead to the, you know, softening of the real estate market when
That's
you have
possible.
All these additional units popping up.
I also heard, I read this online, that, you know, the old it used to be, you know, when you bought a house, you would have you would send a letter to the, you know, the owner of the house saying, you know, I'm freshly divorced. I've got two young daughters. They go to school in the neighborhood. They get straight A's. They love the pool. They have two friends down the street. And you try to convince that, you know, the buyer, if there's multiple offers, that you're the candidate. But now those letters are, well, like a lot of things in the United States, have been looked into, and there seems to be sort of a racist overtone to them. Is that true, or that's the reason why they want to get rid of them?
Well, I don't know entirely, but there's claims from the California Association of Realtors and other realtor groups that it could lead to, you know, a fair housing issue if
right.
someone writes a letter, and it could steer someone one way or the other. As a result of a letter or that type of thing.
But, right, like, for example, you know, an entire street in Burbank could be, you know, guys that are married to other guys, and they want to keep a heterosexual couple out of there. Is that possible?
Well, I mean, it could go a lot of different directions. You know, I think, you know, it still is used. I mean, people are still doing them, especially, you know, in trying to stand out.
Right.
You know, when you have all these other offers competing, doing anything to kind of personalize it.
Well, I've seen some elaborate ones, not just letters, but people make full production videos.
Yes, they do. I've seen that. I've seen videos. They've done artwork. Their children have done artwork, you know, and,
wow.
and submitted it. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways to get creative on that thing. But it's is changing. You know, I don't know where that, you know, I'm sure it'll be much different in a couple of years, and that might be completely prohibited.
Yeah, in Pennsylvania, they recently, well, not recently, last 5-10 years, got rid of the terms room with a view for people who are blind or sight impaired. They also got walk-in, they have to do away with walk-in closet for people who are in wheelchairs. And also, there's a negative connotation to master bedroom that they've also got rid of.
Right. In California, most of the realtor boards have also adopted those standards, too, to eliminate that language.
Wow. All right, buddy. How do people get a hold of you if they have more questions about real estate?
Oh, you can find me on Zillow, or if you go to apartmentstud.com, you have my contact information there. Direct to my real estate site, or you could give me a call, 323-472-3962.
Is that your cell number?
Yes.
Wait a minute, wait, you didn't even give that to me. I got to go through your wife. What is it?
323-472-3962.
3962. And that's your home personal cell number?
Yeah.
Wow.
But man, I'm calling you from an old-fashioned $60 a month landline right now.
It does sound beautiful, though.
Does it sound good?
Yeah. You know what? Not only does it sound great, but we can both talk at the same time with cell phones. Only one person can be talking.
Yeah, this is some good stuff.
It's great, man. I wish everybody went back. I have a landline, and whenever I talk to anybody here at the station, I love getting on it, especially when I talk to Robin Bertolucci has a landline, and I'm on my landline, and it's as if we're, like, literally speaking 2 feet from one another. I really miss that technology.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's worth the $60 a month.
Yeah, it absolutely is. All right, buddy, appreciate you coming on. I'm glad you made the flight safe, and we'll catch you on the for a burger or something.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Giant Stud.
Thank you for-
there he goes. All right, and Jason Solanco. He knows a lot about real estate. So if you have any questions for him, guy gives out his cell phone over the air.
Hey, now.
You know? I got to go through his wife to get a hold of this guy. 323-472-3962. All right, we're live on KFI. It's Conway Show. More now with Crouch.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
KFI AM 640, it's Conway Show. I know, there's a lot of bad news out there, so we not like to try to, you know, get you down. Try to give you some news that might, get you and your family excited, right? And nothing better than Knott's Berry Farm opening! Ding dong! Yes!
Announces it is reopening, and it announced its date.
Whoa! All right, let's find out the date. All right, here we go. The dates for Knott's Berry Farm opening.
Another amusement park announces it is reopening, and
let's
it
go.
Announced its date.
All right.
Knott's Berry Farm will open its doors to the general public May 21st.
There you go. We now have the date, ladies and gentlemen. It is...
public May 21st.
May 21st.
May 21st.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I should just do this for an hour.
May 21st. May 21st. May 21st.
May, what was that?
May 21st.
May 21st. The right after the day after the 20th.
The 23rd?
Nope. 23rd is my anniversary. I'm
what?
Glad you remember that, Bellio.
Anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. Maybe I can go to Knott's for my anniversary, right?
May 21st.
Nice. Yeah. They open May 21st. 2 days later, boom. On the rides, right?
May 21st.
All right. Let's find out what's going on here. Maybe some more information. Like the boysenberries.
For season pass holders, the park will open May 6th. Knott's Berry will have limited capacity. Physical distancing rules will be in place and new reservation requirements as well.
I love the limited capacity amusement parks, man. It'll be like the 1960s.
The reopening comes in time for Knott's summer-long 100th anniversary celebration and the debut of Knott's Berry Tales returning to the fair. Tickets and reservations will be available starting April 26th.
I'm unfamiliar with Knott's Berry Tales.
Knott's Berry Tales returning to the fair?
Interesting.
Knott's Berry Tales returning to the fair?
Is that like a nudist festival that day? Knott's Bear at all?
Knott's Berry Tales returning to the fair?
Well, wipe down those seats between rides. but that's great. So we're opening up, when I say we, because I feel like I work there.
May 21st.
May 21st. And we'll be opening them up, man. Open it up. All right. A pro bowler has done something that no other pro bowler has done. on TV in 30 years. And I said, wow. I said, Bellio, can you believe this guy got a 7-10 split? And her response was, yeah, my mom does that in her sleep. And I didn't, first of all, I didn't know your mom was a bowler.
My mom was a bowler, was on many leagues.
Really?
And when I told her the Ginger Assassin, which is his name.
Ryan.
Had the 7-10 split. Her response was, I've done that.
Really? Wow. You know, I love, I grew up around bowling around at my grandparents' house, the Brunswick Bowling Alley.
Yeah.
And my grandfather was a big, huge fan of bowling. We used to go and watch people, like, you know, the semi-pros come through town.
Oh, that's
cool. They shut all the lanes down except three, and we'd watch these guys bowl. And it was kind of cool. And but when you go to bowling alley, you really want to bowl. You don't want to watch other people bowl. But it really is a great day out. Everybody enjoys it. You can be really crappy and still feel like you enjoyed the game. You can be really good, you know, and it's just the smell of every bowling alley smells exactly the same. I don't know how they did that, whether it's the pins, the balls, the lanes,
smelly
or whatever.
Shoes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, foot spray that they use for the shoes.
Yeah,
the shoe
exactly.
Spray.
Right. But and then they got that little tiny, it's always like three crappy video games in a
yeah,
row.
Yeah, in their arcade.
Yeah.
The worst little arcade in the world.
Totally.
And then the concession stand is a guy with the most acne in the world. and I think that's how they hire him. And he just cooks he puts the cheese on those chips, gives you a hot dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Nachos.
An icy machine. And
order up.
You're off, man.
Here's your nachos.
Yep. And the lounge where all the adults are.
Right, yeah.
Just filled with smoke.
Everyone's smoking. The ashtrays are overfilled.
Yeah, you go through that little door behind where the concession is, where the food, and that's where the lounge is. There's right. a TV on in there.
Yep.
Right.
Still got the knob that you have to physically turn the channel to.
Right, and it's always the smallest door in the place.
Yes.
Like to get into that lounge.
You got to turn sideways to walk into the
door. Right, exactly, exactly. And then, and this is something I don't understand for the life of me, and it's every bowling alley I've ever been to in my life, but everyone, except for Bellio, didn't have one in her town. They have a pro shop at the bowling alley.
Yeah, how right? fancy
they sell
your
bowling balls. They sell gloves. They sell hats, shoes. And it's a little tiny little shop, right? Guess what? There's never been one that's been open.
What's the purpose of having
it? It's always closed. It's the lights are out. The balls are getting cold. The gloves are jiggling. The whole run. It's never open.
You know what our pro shop was? When you got your shoes, there was a glass case, and that was the pro shop.
Right.
Ooh, look at those gloves.
And then there's always, there was, you know, sometimes a restaurant attached to it. You know, you could, there was always, the door into the restaurant. And then you come into the bowling alley, and there's something about that smell. Jenny, you grew up in the Cleveland, you know, northern Ohio area. Did you go to Brunswick? Were you a big bowler?
Oh, yeah. We had a league when we were little.
Yeah, isn't that like ours was Wednesday at noon. And
yeah, it was one of those weird times.
Yeah. And I looked forward to that all summer, like the same as if I was going to Geauga Lake. It was that kind of fun, you know. It was a cool hang. But
yeah, Brunswick was cool.
Yeah, Brunswick was great. We had one outside. I don't know if you've ever heard the name Solon. You know where Solon is?
Uh-uh.
Solon is near Sugarland Falls, a little bit west of Sugarland
okay.
Falls. And they had a beautiful bowling alley there off 422 was the road there. I don't know why I know that. But bowling in the Midwest is huge. It's one of those things you can do with your kids. But then again, mom and dad can go out and have their own league. Dad has his own league. And it's a fairly inexpensive. Up until recently, it was fairly inexpensive. Now it's like you go there and you can spend $100, you know, bowling for an afternoon. But I remember it was like 10 cents a frame and $1.20 per game, you know, back when in the old days. And shoes were a quarter or 50 cents. And I'm not talking like 1910. I'm talking like 1975. You know, it was
yeah,
that kind
yeah,
of
yeah. It was really cheap to go. You could bring your whole family.
Yeah, right. And but I'm not into the, you know, the newer ones. They have that midnight bowl where everything is under black light and there's a smoke machine. There's, you know, loud music. That's not the vibe that I'm into.
Did the bowling alleys you grew up with? Did they have the two lanes? One was for duck pin bowling.
No, I've never heard of that. Yeah. What is that?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an East Coast Southern thing. That's the ball fits barely in your hands.
Oh, I've seen that.
Oh, yeah, we did that in Maine.
Pins are like 6 inches to a foot
to
haul.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, I think it's the same length of the alley, you know, of the alleyway and all that, but it's just the ball's smaller and the pins are smaller.
We didn't have bumpers when growing up. Now you can put the bumpers up for the kids.
I was going to ask if you use those.
No.
What's your score? What's your
My high score, yeah. I think, is like 238.
Hey, now. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
Are you being serious?
I'm not kidding you, man.
Come
I got hot one day where I couldn't, I don't know, everything came together. But I usually am around 110.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah,
laugh really. At me.
That's about right.
About 110, maybe 120, right? I'm not that good.
You used the bumpers, didn't you?
No, I honestly got one. It's one of those days where like everyone's like, wow, is this guy like a pro? I'm like, no, it's just one of those, like one day in my life. All the stars and the planets lined up.
Every time you're up with the ball in your hand, everybody crowds around.
Right. It's never happened.
What
again.
Was your name when you'd put up on the scorecard?
A-hole.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.